Miseres Per Gimel Mishnah Yud 3:10, the last of the Perek. And since we spoke in the previous Mishnah about fig trees growing inside of Chatzeros, so we're going to discuss here one more possibility of a fig tree growing inside of a Chatzer, but we'll generalize it. For starters, we're going to talk about the interesting question of what happens if you have a fig tree that's growing inside the courtyard, but the branches stretch out of the courtyard. So if one's standing out of the courtyard, but the tree is growing in the courtyard, so when he's eating in the garden outside the courtyard, do the obligations, the tithe, kick in? And the Mishnah will say, no, it doesn't. Now, that's a big chiddush, or a little chiddush at least. And the reason why is because under normal circumstances, the status of a tree goes after where its trunk is coming out of the ground. So here we're going to say, even though the trunk is growing in the chatzer, if you're eating figs out of the chatzer, the obligation of the tithe doesn't kick in. And the rationale, probably straightforward, is that the obligation of tithe is not a function of where the tree is or the tree status. It's whether you've had a gemar malach and brought the figs in on home. And since these figs are standing outside of the courtyard, so they're not brought home, therefore it actually stands to reason that they will be exempt from the tithing requirement if you're eating them outside of the chatzer. Once the Mishnah gets finished saying what I just said, basically, it will explore other interesting cases where you have trees where the trunk is growing in one halachic zone, if you will, and the branch is crossing over some line into another halachic zone. And the question will be, what's the status of the tree or the fruit, given the fact that the tree straddles two different halachic zones? The general guiding principle will be, as I just said, the status of a tree goes after its trunk, not after its branches, and that'll be straightforward. But in a number of scenarios, we'll see that where the tree status per se is not relevant, we consider this the position of the branch. So here we go inside. It starts out by saying, Te'enesh hi omeres b'chatzer. You have a tree, this is a fig tree, and it's inside of a courtyard, the kind of courtyard which would obligate the taking of tithes. V'nota lagina, but it's leaning over the wall of the courtyard into the garden, and a person standing in the garden, and he's eating the figs off of the branch out there. Ochel kadarko pator, even if a person eats in a normal way, meaning he takes multiple figs off the tree at the same time, if he took two or more figs off the branch and he were standing in the courtyard, then of course that would be tzeruf and be required to tithe mid rabbana. But since he's outside the courtyard, he has no obligation, he can eat normally, and since it's eating achilas arai, sort of a casual eating, the figs are exempt from tithes. Omeres begina, on the other hand, if the fig tree were standing in the garden, outside of the courtyard, venota lechatzer, but the branch is leaning over into the courtyard, and the person is standing inside the courtyard, picking the figs off of the branch of the tree, which whose trunk is out of the courtyard, so ochel achas achas upater, then he can only eat one fig at a time, since he's standing inside of the courtyard, and if he eats one at a time, then he'll be exempt from the tithing. Vim tzeref, but if he amasses two or more figs, or like Reb Shimon said, you know, the one in each hand, the one in the mouth, whatever it is, at that point, chayav, he's tzeref, he's collected multiple figs, and in such a scenario, at least midr rabbanan, he now has to take tithes before eating them because he's standing in the chatzer. So the point is, it's about where you're standing, and not about where the tree or the branch is per se. Now, we're going to transition to other questions about trees straddling two zones. The first is the question of the status of the tree itself. In other words, is the tree obligated in tithes at all? So in Eretz Yisrael, the answer is yes, and outside of Eretz Yisrael, the answer is no, at least not midoraisa. So what happens if you have a tree? The tree's trunk is stayed, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael, but the branch is crossing the border into Chutz La'aretz. So are the figs growing in the airspace of Chutz La'aretz obligated in tithing, midoraisa? The Mishnah says, Omedes ba'aretz v'notel chutz la'aretz. If you have a tree whose trunk is in Eretz Yisrael, but its branch stretches out to pass the border into chutz la'aretz, out of Eretz Yisrael, b'chutz la'aretz v'notel aretz. Or, on the other hand, if you have a tree whose trunk is sitting in chutz la'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, but v'notel aretz, but the branch is leaning over into Eretz Yisrael, its airspace, so then hakol holach achra ikar. Everything goes after the location and status of the trunk of the tree. Ikar literally actually means a root, but it means like the place where it's coming out of the ground. That's considered the primary part of the tree, and that's where it's nourishing, and that's where its halachic status will be derived. So again, trees are obligated in tithing if they're growing in Eretz Yisrael, regardless of where the branches branch out. And if the branches are in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't make a difference if the trunk is still in Chutz La'aretz. The next question the Mishnah considers is a little different. It's talking about the status of what are called Bate Arechoma, houses in walled cities. So you'll recall when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, the land was apportioned amongst the 12 tribes, and the idea was that the ancestral plots should belong to the tribe and the family to which inherited it in perpetuity forever. So that would mean, under normal circumstances, if you have some field somewhere, if you sell it to another person, ultimately the field will come back to you in the Yovel year, in the Jubilee year after seven Shemitahs. Then the land will come back to you. In a sale of property outside of, you know, in Eretz Israel. So then for the first 2 years, one may not redeem it, but after that, he has the right to redeem it back prematurely prior to the Yovel year. That's the general rule that applies to the land of Israel. However, the Psukim differentiate between generic land of Israel and walled cities in the time of the Chumash and the Mishnah, and actually much later as well. So real proper urban cities were surrounded by a wall, and walled cities are governed by different rules according to the Torah. Specifically, one, they're like sort of exempt from this notion of going back forever, ancestral plots, meaning that if a person sells his ancestral home inside a walled city, so he has 12 months to sort of to redeem the home, to get it back for himself. But if the 12 months lapse, so then he loses his ancestral home forever, meaning you sell a home inside a walled city, so then after 12 months, it does not come back to you even after Yovel. So the question of our Mishnah is, if you have a tree and it's growing, let's say the trunk, inside a walled city, but the branches are going out of the walled city or vice versa, the question is, what rules govern this tree, which is, you know, straddling the two zones in and out of the walled city? Is it the kind of asset that comes back after at Yovel, or no, is the kind of asset which you have 1 year to redeem, and if not, it's gone forever? So the answer will be, as not surprisingly, everything goes after the situation of the trunk, because that's the guiding principle. So the Mishnah says inside here, Uvavate arechoma, when it comes to homes, assets inside of walled cities, Hakol holach achar ikar, everything goes after the trunk of the tree. So trees whose trunks are inside of the walls of the city, those can be sold in perpetuity, but those that are trees that are, even if the branches go out of the city, and the trees whose trunks are outside the city, even if the branches go into the city, cannot be sold in perpetuity. They can be sold, you can sell them for 2 years, after that you can redeem it, and come Yovel, the tree goes back to the family, the ancestral family. Okay, the next case the Mishnah considers is the status of Are Miklat, the cities of refuge. You'll recall very briefly, the idea is that if a person murders accidentally, under certain guidelines, whatever they are, then the Goel Hadam, the relative of the deceased, can avenge the death of his murdered relative, and essentially can kill the murderer. So the murderer, the inadvertent murderer, is to flee to a Ir HaMiklat, a refuge city. The Torah stipulates there are 42 of those. And when he's in the Ir HaMiklat, the city of refuge, he's safe. The Goel Hadam, the avenger, may not harm him. Now, the area that serves as the home base, the protection for the murderer, is the Ir HaMiklat, the city of refuge, and the 2,000 Amah perimeter around that city of refuge. So our mission is thinking, what happens if, you know, at the line of 2,000 Amos from the city of refuge, you have a tree growing, the trunk, let's say, is within the 2,000 Amos, but the branches are reaching over and they extend past 2,000 Amos. So what happens if you have this accidental murderer who's sitting on a tree branch and his person is beyond 2,000 Amos as the crow flies, but he's sitting on a tree and the tree's within 2,000 Amos? So is he afforded the protections of the Ir HaMiklat or not? So the Mishnah says, when it comes to Ba'ari Miklat, Hakol Holech Achar Hanof, everything goes after the branch. Now that's strange, but when, as the Bartner explains when the Gemara gets on with it, we're saying L'chumra, like meaning to be strict, even after the branch, meaning even though normally the rule is everything goes after the trunk, if he's sitting on the branch, we'll apply strictures if you sit on the branch as well. Now, what are the strictures, the chumras? So in the case of the Goel Hadam, the avenger of the blood, so a stricture, a chumra would be, he is restricted from killing. And that being the case, what the Mishnah essentially is saying is, if you're sitting on a tree branch, and the branch is more than 2,000 amos from the Ir HaMiklat, but the trunk of that tree is within 2,000 amos, so the inadvertent murderer is actually afforded the protections of the Ir HaMiklat, meaning that the Goel Hadam cannot attack him, even though he's more than 2,000 amos, because he's sitting on a tree branch, and will go af al hanof, even after the branch, to afford him the protection, and apply the chumrah saying, sorry, Mr. Goel Hadam, Avenger, you cannot kill this guy, because he's still protected by the fact that he's sitting on a tree, which is within 2,000 amos. So that's that. And finally, over Yerushalayim, the question of Jerusalem. So when it comes to Yerushalayim, we're talking here about the halachas of Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, recall, is the second tithe, and the obligation of the second tithe is that you must bring it to Yerushalayim to eat over there. So the stricture would be that you can't eat Maaser Sheni till you're in Yerushalayim. There's a separate important din that kicks in here, which is that when it comes to Maaser Sheni produce, one is allowed to redeem that produce. You can take the Kedusha of the Maaser Sheni off of the produce and put it onto a coin and bring those coins to Yerushalayim and buy foodstuffs in Yerushalayim with those coins. But once you've brought Maaser Sheni food into Yerushalayim, it's stuck there, meaning you cannot take it out anymore. You can't redeem it and take it out anymore. That's not allowed. The food that comes into Yerushalayim as Maaser Sheni must be eaten over there. So we've got, you know, outside of Yerushalayim, you can't eat Maaser Sheni, but you can redeem it. Inside of Yerushalayim, you can eat Maaser Sheni, but you cannot redeem it. And we're going to discuss the question of what happens if you have a tree that the trunk, let's say, is inside of Yerushalayim, but the branch stretches over the walls outside of Yerushalayim, or vice versa. The tree is rooted outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, but the branches reach into Yerushalayim. And the Mishnah here will say, like the previous clause, that although normally the rule is we go after the trunk of the tree here, it's not about trees per se, it's about being in Yerushalayim, and therefore we'll go off, even according to the branch, the nof, lechumra, we'll apply the chumras, which would mean if a person is sitting on a tree and the branch crosses over the line, either into or out of Yerushalayim, whatever the case is, as it's on that branch, the chumras of both will apply, meaning it doesn't matter if he's sitting in the airspace of Yerushalayim on a tree whose trunk is outside of Yerushalayim, or if he's sitting on a branch which is outside of Yerushalayim, which trunk is inside of Yerushalayim. In both cases, we apply the chumras of both, meaning he is not allowed. He will even go after the branch, meaning the chumra of the branch, which would mean he's not allowed to eat the Maaser Sheni, because he may be as if he's not in Yerushalayim. But he also is not allowed to redeem the produce, because he's also perhaps not in Yerushalayim. So we go the chumra both ways, and that is the halacha.